For those of you that don't know me, my name is Frank Turman. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church, and I want to welcome you to our gathered worship service. We're so happy if you're visiting here today. We're glad you're here. You're an important part. We try to be family here, and we want you to join our family. So we hope you're welcomed here and loved. In the book Preparing for Marriage, which is what I use for premarital counseling, this is how the authors describe communication. Quote, "Communication is to a relationship what blood is to a human body. Communication nourishes and sustains a relationship. Remove it and you no longer have a relationship." Close quote. Communication is one of the most basic things that we do. And I'll say it again. Communication is one of the most important things we do. So consequently, the Bible has a lot to say about communication. Perhaps all that the Bible has to say can be summed up in Proverbs 13:3. "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Can I get an amen on that? If you've been around a while, you know that that's true. Biblical communication is so important that I preach about it several times a year. It makes its way into a lot of my sermons, but it's been about 5 years since I've actually preached a whole sermon series on this topic. So I'm going to begin the sermon series today, and I got a really classy name for it, Biblical Communication. It pretty much says, we don't need a lot of pizzazz. We're going to talk about how we can communicate biblically. And I will begin today with a sermon that I have titled, "It's All About Relationships." That's what the name of the sermon is, "It's All About Relationships." And by my title, you all probably think you know what I plan to preach about. You'd be wrong. What I'm going to do is boil down biblical communication into three critical relationships that we all have, every one of us. And from each of those relationships, I will extract from those relationships, I will extract three issues on which all biblical communication rests. So I want you to understand that what we're going to be talking about, these three issues, critical issues, are like a three-legged stool. And the three-legged stool, the legs are going to hold up the biblical communication that we're going to be talking about in the future. But what holds it up is are these three issues. So these three issues are very important. I'm going to tell you, you must understand these three issues and address them very intentionally in your life if you plan to improve your communications. Because if you don't address these issues, when we start talking about biblical communication, the whole stool is going to fall apart. So let's now pray that God gets a hold of every one of us and makes us more godly communicators. Starting today, would you bow your heads while I pray? Lord, open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your law. Give us understanding that we might keep your law and obey it with our whole heart. I ask you, Father, to give me clarity of presentation that I might faithfully bring out of the text only what you have put there. No more, no less. Give me the passion to advocate your wisdom so that all of our heads and hearts are gripped by your truth. May not one of us leave here today the way we came. We pray all these things in the name of your perfect communicator son, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. So strap on your seatbelts. Here we go. Number one, biblical communication is based on our relationship with good and evil. Number one, biblical communication is based on a relationship with good and evil. Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings out evil things stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." Let me say that again. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. In the final analysis, what we say comes from what we have stored up in here. What we will learn over the next 8 weeks will not be behavior modification. What we will learn over the next 8 weeks is not how to put up better filters on what we say. No, we're not going there. What we begin to learn today and for the next 8 weeks is that biblical communication is an inside-out process. It works from the inside out. Now, how many of you have ever carved a pumpkin or at least seen it done? Anybody? Of course. Two-step process. First step is you take the junk out. You know, you got to carve the top of the pumpkin, and you got to get all that gunk and garbage and junk out of there, right? Step one. Step two is you put in the light. If you want to communicate better, you got to cooperate with God. You must let him take out all of the self-centered, pride-filled, it's all about me junk in you and me, and let him fill you with his light. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. All the good virtues. Take out the junk and put in the good stuff. Now, I have a friend who's one of the most critical people I know. He can be a very discouraging person to be around. And yes, he is a friend. He does love the Lord and has many other redeeming qualities. And by the way, he's not part of our congregation. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I was in a meeting with him one night, and he came into the meeting late, and he was really upset. It seemed that his teenage son did something unwise. I know it's hard to believe that a teenager did something unwise. But his son did, and he dressed him down. He was so critical of him and his decision. And he knew he went too far with his son that night. And he came into the meeting very upset. And what he said was, I have to learn to be quiet and not be so critical. And I kicked myself all the time. I missed the golden opportunity there to really help him and everybody in the room to say this. That is only half of what God wants you to do. The other half of what God wants you to do and wants us to do too is to become encouragers. You see, God doesn't want to just remove the discourager from us. He wants us to replace it with an encouraging spirit. God doesn't want us to just stop doing bad stuff, the junk. He wants us to replace that junk with his light, the light that shines out onto other people. So if you're going to be a more biblical communicator, and since you're here today, that's probably your goal, it will not be because you talk more godly. It will be because you are more godly. Remember this. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Biblical communication is a heart issue. So number one, that's the first leg of our stool. It's based on relationship with good and evil, and so it's a heart issue. That's the first leg of our three-legged stool. Number two, biblical communication is based on a relationship with God. One of the more important verses in the Bible is Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul goes through a very detailed analysis about how great God has been for us. That he came to earth, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we receive Jesus as Savior, he justifies us. He declares us not guilty. All of our sins are wiped away. But God doesn't stop there. He sanctifies us. He grows us up. He makes us more like his son. And it doesn't even stop there. And when we leave this earth and Jesus returns and we're resurrected, we will get perfectly glorified bodies, and we will live sinless with him for all eternity. That's a great story. So we get to chapter 12. In 11 chapters, Paul has discussed that in detail, And so in chapter 12, he says, therefore, therefore is because of everything he said in the first 11 chapters, what Paul says, based on all I told you about the mercy of God, the only reasonable response that we could have to that is to offer our whole bodies, our whole lives to God as worship. That's what he means by offer your bodies. Too many Christians think worship is restricted to what we do at the beginning of Sunday services when we sing. That is worship, but it's only one kind of worship. It's called musical worship. We try to be very exacting about that. Our whole service is worship. Musical worship is just one part of it. The truth is, anything we do that pleases God is worship. Did you know that? Anything that we do, anything that you do that pleases God is a form of worship to Him. So I want you ready for this? You ready? Okay, here we go. When we communicate biblically, we worship God. When we honor our parents in speech, we worship God. When we are chaste singles, we worship God. And when we speak lovingly and respectfully to our spouses, we worship God. Now, you ready for this one? We're going to go even deeper now. How we talk to others says everything about what we think about God. Let me say that again. How we talk to others says everything about what we think about God. And you're probably saying, Pastor, I don't know where you're getting that from. I'm getting that from 1 John 4:20 to 21. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. If you're out there on Sunday morning, you come here Sunday morning, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, that guy's a jerk over there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, what an idiot she is. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let me tell you, this stuff isn't working for you. I want you to hear this well. Being a godly son or daughter is a form of worship to God. Being a godly husband and wife is worship to God. Being a hardworking team-oriented employee is worship to God. And biblically communicating with others is worship. It's worship. You know, back in the 90s, my company sent me to a leadership training seminar when it was in the business world. The leader of the seminar, I still remember him, the guy's name was Mel. Mel was a former hippie who became a new age guru kind of guy. He was an interesting guy. But he taught me something about communication that I have always found to be true, and it's this. He said that if you're in the mud slinging with each other, you know how you can get with somebody? So you're always firing mud at each other and then, you know, getting down low. He said, if just one of you decides, you know what, I'm getting out of the mud, I'm deciding not to play in the mud anymore, I'm going to raise the level of my communications with somebody. Who's this person dealing with? They got nobody to deal with. You know what they have to do? They have to start talking professionally to you because you're talking professionally to them. That's in a professional sense. It works in all of our relationships too. It works in our marriages. It works in our families. It works in our neighborhood. Saints, I have seen this with my own eyes in marriage counseling. When just one spouse decides that they are going to worship God by the way they talk to their spouse, they are making their communication with God, with their spouse, a form of worship. When they make that decision, When they make that decision, when they determine that they are going to worship God by the way they talk to their spouse, because they want to honor God, and here's the key, and not basing it on how their spouse talks to them, how their spouse treats them. It's not based on that. Their marriage will improve. Their marriage will improve because the other spouse is going to have to come up too. It's just the way it works. That's where healing starts, and the same is true in any of our relationships. When we get out of the mud with people, they will have to come up to that higher level. So biblical communication is based on a relationship with good and evil. It's a heart issue. The second leg of that stool, it is also a worship issue. It's also a worship issue. Number three, biblical communication is based on a relationship with others. You knew I was going to say that. But I'm going to challenge us to think differently about our relationships. Because in our natural selves, let's face it, in our natural selves, we treat others the way they treat us in our natural selves. That's just the natural human beings. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You're lousy to me, I'll be lousy to you. But I want to challenge you here to not base our relationships with others on how they treat us, but instead, listen to this, base our relationship instead on how God sees them. Don't base it on how we interact, but base it on how God sees them. I want you to see three things. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And I want to talk to everybody here today. This is important. Don't get your worth from other people. God created you with worth. You were created with worth. You don't need to get it from other people. God already gave you worth because he values you. Don't get your self-esteem based on how many likes you get in a week. Don't base your self-esteem on how many followers you have, because they're not really followers. You have eternal worth because God made you in his image. If your mother or father, or anyone for that matter, says that you're no good and you'll never amount to anything, don't believe them. Don't believe them for a second, because God values you. Can I get an amen on that from somebody? Yeah. Well, God values other people too, you know. It's not just you he values. Everybody you live with, everybody in this room, everybody out there was created by God and is imprinted with his image. Everyone you and I communicate has eternal worth to God because God made him or her and imprinted each of them with his own image. God values them, so should we. Now, I have a sibling, only one, a sister. I have three daughters, no sons, and my only grandchild, you guessed it, is a girl. I'm a female maker. Somebody told me yesterday, you're so blessed. Now, two of my daughters are married. They are married to two men who treat them with honor and respect. So every Father's Day, and at other times too, I take opportunities to thank my son-in-laws, Floyd and Frank, for being good husbands. I thank them for treating my daughters with love and respect. Hey, I don't care how old I am. I don't care how old they are. I don't care where they live or where I live. Those are my girls. Don't mess with my girls. You dads with girls? You tracking with me? You know exactly what I mean, right? If one of those guys mistreated one of my girls, they'd have to deal with me. Now, Floyd was a weightlifting champ for his in the army. I don't care. Teenage girls, I want you to understand this. Because if you bring a date home sometimes, some guy comes to pick you up, and your father comes out to meet him, and he's cleaning his gun. Husbands, remember that your wife's dad is God. Don't be messing with his little girl. God is everybody's father, made in his image, and all people deserve our biblical communication. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Not only that, that's a great reason, that's enough reason, but there's more reason. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus loves all people that you will communicate with this week and will communicate with next week so much that he died for them, that they might have an eternal relationship with him. God wants you to communicate biblically with everyone in the world because they are made in the image of God and because his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for them. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We're God's ambassadors. As Christ's ambassadors, our every communication with others should bring them closer to God, whether it's at home, at work, in the neighborhood, wherever, at church. It will happen if we consistently communicate biblically. Do you realize that? When you're talking to an unbeliever, every time you communicate with them, you're bringing them closer to Jesus, or you're pushing them farther away. Every communication is important. And the way we treat each other in the church is also very important, including the way we talk to each other. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I want to tell you, the most ardent, irreligious, atheist, anti-Christian in New England knows that Christians should be known for their love with each other. They all know what Christ should mean to us and in a way we live our lives. They know that if he is real, he will affect the way we treat others. What's at stake is our witness to the world by how we communicate with each other. Now, those are three reasons why biblical communication is based on our relationship to others. We communicate biblically to others not based on how they treat us, but based on their value to God. God values them, so we're going to value them. We are to treat others with honor and respect and communicate biblically because God values them so highly. Makes sense. Do you want to know how important our relationship with others is to God? Do you want to know how important our relationships are to God? Okay, since you're the only one that wants to know. Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and bring your gift. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and bring your gift. Did you just hear Jesus' priority? Did you hear what he said? Having right relationships are more important to Jesus than our religious practices. If we truly love Jesus, we're going to swallow our pride and self-centeredness and go fix the relationship. By worshiping Jesus in our relationships with others, he's going to love our hallelujahs and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What a good guy he is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad I have a good relationship with her. Praise the Lord. And amen. Now, some of you have come to me over the years and asked forgiveness for something you said or did. And there was a number of you, I've said virtually every time, and I'll tell you right now again, we're cool. If I'm angry with you, I'm going to tell you. I trust me on that. But I also have told those people, and I'll tell you too, I appreciate you for asking because it shows that our relationship is important to you. Thank you for doing that. And that's what people do who value relationships and what God thinks about people. That's what they do. So here it is. Here's our three-legged stool. Biblical communication is a heart issue. Biblical communication is a worship issue. And biblical communication is an issue of others' worth to God. So now we have our three-legged stool that we can build biblical communication on. Consider these three foundational issues as the three-legged stool. This is what's going to prop up everything we're going to learn over the next 8 weeks. Everything we are going to teach you about biblical communication will only hold true in your life if you address these three foundational issues. Otherwise, the weight of these things is going to crush. It's going to fall apart. You might see some improvement in the way you talk for a while, but it's going to go away because you haven't addressed the three core issues. For us to become godly communicators, we're going to have to cooperate with God to recognize and admit the presence of some evil junk in our hearts. We all have it. Pride, selfishness, having to win, unforgiveness. Too many people walk around figuring, if you wound me, I get to wound you back. We're even? Okay, let's continue on. It doesn't work. And our unhealthy expressions of anger only make our relationships worse. Be willing to be a bearer of Jesus' light to others. Let him take that junk out of you and put it into you instead. Humility, being other-centered, becoming a peacemaker, someone who's proactive making peace. Forgiving as Christ forgave us. And learning how to express anger in a healthy way. Now, that last one might surprise you. We must express our anger to others, but in a healthy way. If we're going to improve relationships, we must do that. And we're going to start to do that next week. We need to discard the common idea that we will treat people based on how they treat us. Instead, we're going to need to decide to communicate biblically so that we can worship God. And because God values other people. And I will guarantee you this. If you leave today beginning to address these three issues in your life, I guarantee you, starting today, your communication will become more biblical. And you haven't even learned anything about biblical communication. If you just address these three issues, I guarantee you, you'll begin to express yourself more biblically. Guarantee you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're checking out Christianity. You've heard a lot about it. You're studying it. You came here because somebody invited you. This all sounds really good and you want to do it. Let me tell you something. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, it's too hard for you to do it. It's unnatural what we talked about today. You're going to fail. What you need is the third person of the Trinity. You need the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you to give you supernatural help to be able to do these things. Because those three things I talked about today are unnatural for us. We need the Holy Spirit, and we get the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, to walk forward later in the service, to pray to receive Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to do it now because we're going to have a testimony of someone who came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're going to see how Jesus supernaturally worked in her life. I want you to hear that before you make your decision. And so I hope you've heard enough today to pique your interest to say, I'm in for the next 8 weeks. That's my hope, because we are going to learn a lot. And I guarantee you, biblical communication will turn your life around. Let's pray. Lord, throughout the centuries, you have communicated with us, a sinful people, not because we deserved it, but because you love us anyway. Those of us who have received you, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, know your undeserved forgiveness. Help us to communicate biblically to others because of you, as worship, and because others are worth so much to you. Lord, we give you permission today to take the junk out of us and to put your light into us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen.